And you're listening to The Gadget Grill on a lovely Sunday evening. I'm your host, Lee Stark, and across from me, fiddling with a whole bunch of buttons that look like they're slightly out of order, is my co-host and dad, Gary Stark.
And a very, very good evening to you. Trying to work out what's going on. People have changed things around in here. We're in a different studio, and everything is not where it's supposed to be.
Apologies if anything sounds slightly fuzzier tonight. This is why.
The reason we sound fuzzy is because we've been drinking too much. Good evening. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. How are you this evening, Lee?
I'm okay. I'm a lot better than last week. I didn't come down with a cold, which is kind of cool. Ish, sort of. And
well, it's certainly not cold.
It's not cold, yeah. Cold. And yeah, no, I'm feeling good this week. It's a beautiful evening. How can you feel bad on an evening like this? And it's like the week before Christmas, and it's Hanukkah today, isn't it?
It is the first. Well, tomorrow is the first day of Hanukkah.
Okay, it's Hanukkah tomorrow then.
Which means that the Jewish festivals always start the night before. So Hanukkah actually does start this evening.
Cool, I was actually right and I had no idea.
Indeed you did. Yes, Hanukkah starts tonight. We are going to light the candle, and in fact, we will probably end up burning the candle at both ends, but who cares about that?
As long as we don't burn the station down, otherwise we'd have no show ever again, which would suck, and then probably someone would sue us, which would suck even more.
Certainly, I think that if we did that, we would upset a few people. What's in the Gadget Grill this evening? What have you got on the pan?
Well, we have news. There's always some news. We're talking about how the Recording Industry Association of America aren't going to be suing quite as many people.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of useful. I doubt that'll affect us down here, but we'll talk more about that. Plus, we're going to be talking about gifts for gamers. There are a lot of parents out there who have no idea what to buy their kids because they're massive gaming geeks and they're kid, or their, the parents obviously aren't, but we're going to be talking about ways that you can buy things for your kids without having to leave your home, which is kind of cool. I mean, you can avoid the long lines.
That's always useful. I hate shopping. I hate moving.
You just hate spending money.
I love spending money.
You just hate spending money on any other one but yourself.
Well, let me rephrase it. I hate doing what I can't do, which means that I can't spend, which means I hate spending money because I haven't got any.
Anyway, we'll also be looking at a couple tiny reviews of things, hardware this time, not games. We're going to look at the Chumby very briefly. That might sound very strange over the air, the Chumby. That's because it is. We'll look at a speaker or two, and we're even going to look at a useless USB gadget.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
It's a useless gadget, not so much a useless USB gadget. We're going to try and make this a thing.
We have lots of USB gadgets, and I'm waving something.
Yeah,
right
I've got. That's not a useless USB gadget. In the studio this week, and probably every week, is Sackboy, the creature we mentioned from Little Big Planet last week. Sony sent me one this week, and it's been my favorite
very
icon.
Very nice, Sony. Thank you.
Very thanks for much thanks for that. I've been asking for one since I first heard they were in production, and Sony sent me one as a Christmas present, and now I've got a Sackboy, a plush Sackboy that basically travels everywhere with me, which just tells.
Sackboy.
Hey, you can't have Sackboy in any other way other than plush. But first, we've got a song.
Yes, we do. This is
Nelly Furtado with Glow. It's the Gadget Grill with Lee Stark, which is me, and Gary Stark over there making making noise and making music and giving us this cool little No More Heroes-y soundtrack on the back for the news. Coming up, we've got some news, and I'm going to start it up with this back and forth thing. Dad's got some news, and I've got some news, so I'll go first, and then you can go, and we can back and forth for a bit.
This will be just like playing tennis, which you have never played.
Well, I've played once.
Once, okay,
and it wasn't Wii tennis.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, the RIAA, the Recording Industry Association of America, are going to stop suing individuals. This has become a big problem of theirs. They see it as their job to people who are pirating music to bang down the door of 35,000. That's the minimum amount they've done it to for people who've downloaded music, as some of them are actually not true. They've actually banged down the door and sued people who didn't download music. That's where it gets really interesting.
I know. Such a wonderful system they have, isn't it?
Well, it's changing now. They've realized that not only does everyone hate them, It's not actually effective in the slightest. So what they're going to do is they're going to focus on ISPs instead, and they're going to, under this new plan, contact ISPs when the illegal uploading is detected. Now, how they detect people uploading is through a method basically of doing the same process themselves. Basically, they're just connecting to the same networks that everyone else is doing.
Oh, entrapment.
It's... You can't say that. They don't call it that.
I wouldn't suggest that. I wouldn't suggest that at all.
They don't call it that, but it's a similar practice to that. And there are ways to protect yourself. I'm not going to talk about them here. I don't think I'm allowed to. Just Google things like that if you're worried about anything like that. This isn't bothered by us in Australia because we don't have company or organizations like ARIA or APRA banging down our doors. But
yet,
and this is the thing. So at least the RIAA are changing their methods, and this is a similar tactic which will start to happen in Australia. I know that movie companies are actually doing the same thing with other ISPs in this country, so just something to be aware of. Your turn, Dad.
Okay, the first news item that I have is an iPod tax.
An iPod tax?
An iPod.
You're going to tax my iPod?
You're going to tax the music that you download. New Yorkers who download music to their MP3 players may soon see the cost rise after the state's governor, David Paterson, proposed a 4% tax on the practice as part of a plan to ease a state budget crisis.
He's not going to be a very popular man.
No, he's not. But everybody in New York must have an iPod or two, I'd say. You know, sort of...
It's the most circulated device in history. In fact, if you go to a train station these days, good luck trying to find someone without an iPod or those bloody white earbuds, which are really bad for your ears.
When I went to America earlier this year, I was amazed when I got to America and I was flying across country there. You're waiting in the airport lounge, you get on the plane. Every second person, it seemed, had an iPod. I don't mean just an MP3 player. I mean, you could tell that they were iPods of some description. And
it's hard to escape the iPod. It's actually, you know, it's fairly inexpensive. It provides good audio quality, and it's fashionable, which puts other companies like iRiver and Creative and Cowon and all the others in really interesting times because they have to compete with this monolith of a company. It's juggernaut, basically. Anyway, is it 4% or 4 cent?
4% tax, which means on a dollar download, you're going to be paying 4 cents.
That's not that much.
It's not a lot, but if you download a lot, then it'll add up. And
so if you download 10 tracks, you're paying 40 US cents.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nickel and dime thing, you know, sort of the more that you download, the more you pay, and it accumulates very quickly, of course.
It's still not a lot of money. I mean, we're already charged more than what you'd expect here. Although that said, iTunes now has a DRM-less version called iTunes Plus, which actually costs more. So I guess in those sorts of situations, it's going to cost those people even more to get DRM-less.
Yeah, that's what, an extra 50 cents for
It's an extra 50 cents for the music and I think an extra buck. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, so that, you know, that's going to significantly increase it. But Mr. Paterson has also, one of his more innovative moves is a planned charge on sugary soft drinks dubbed the obesity tax. Any non-diet fruit drink that contains less than 7% natural fruit juice will be subject to an 18% tax. How does that affect alcoholic-based drinks?
I suspect this guy has an issue with taxes. He likes taxes. Does he pay taxes himself? One would hope so, being a governor,
yeah.
That's kind of interesting because diet drinks, getting off topic here, but diet drinks, while they don't have the same sort of sugary substance, their own medical health benefits actually can reduce your health through long-term abuse. So not really sure about that one.
Exactly. Next item of news that I have.
I was going to go back to me quickly.
I thought.
Oh, go and do yours.
I am going to do another one and then you can do another couple.
Fine. You'll probably end up doing mine anyway.
You never know. A fast train makes it onto the list. This is a good item, I think, if this actually comes to fruition. There is a $190 billion agenda to rebuild the nation's infrastructure.
Did you just say billion?
I said billion.
Whoa.
To rebuild the nation's infrastructure, and it includes a very fast train from Sydney to Melbourne via Canberra. Now, I don't know how many...
How fast? If I left Sydney at, say, 11 a.m., how quickly would I get to Melbourne?
You'd be in Canberra in an hour and a half.
Why would I want to go to Canberra?
You might be the Prime Minister one day.
True. How long would it take me to get to Canberra?
It'd take you an hour and a half to get to Canberra.
How long does it take by car?
By car, it takes about 2.5 hours if you behave yourself.
That's not bad.
The plane flight takes an hour and a quarter. It should take 45 minutes. It takes about an hour and a quarter because they slow the planes down. But here's where the real advantage comes in with the very fast train. When you fly, you've got to turn up at the airport an hour and a half before you depart. You've got to go through all these security checks. Then you get on the plane. Then the plane gets delayed because of an interesting object that they found lying on the runway.
Oh, yeah, get on with it.
Then you get in the air.
Well, yeah, get on with it, yeah.
That's exactly my point. Yeah. It takes a long time to get from point A to point B.
That was sort of my point, to speed you up in the news.
Yeah. When you're flying, if you take a fast train, you get to the station 10 minutes, 5 minutes before the train leaves, get on the train, get to your destination, get off the train. Your luggage has not left you, so you don't have to go and find your luggage or find that the airline
sort of like the train,
Melbourne.
Sort of like the trains between Paris and London, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sort of thing they're talking about. And it's a very, very good, very effective way of travelling. I thoroughly enjoyed it when we did that in Europe, and I hope it comes to fruition because we do need it.
I see the news item you've got there, and I'm actually thinking of skipping mine. I'll just briefly mention mine because that one's a hell of a lot more interesting than mine.
Okay, we'll go with yours.
The one, just quickly, Apple will no longer be at Macworld after 2009, and Steve Jobs, the head of Apple, everyone's favorite turtleneck-wearing leader, won't be giving his keynote next year anyway, and a lot of this has been guessed because perhaps he has cancer, perhaps he just doesn't want to do it, perhaps he's retiring, perhaps a lot of things, but Apple won't
be... Perhaps he just doesn't like buttons.
Oh, well, that's actually the reason why he doesn't wear anything other than turtlenecks. He doesn't like buttons. Anyway, Apple won't be at Macworld, which is odd because it's a Macworld. Anyway, do your thing quickly because we've got some music and some other stuff to do.
Okay, well, the next item that I have is one that I found the other day, which is that octopuses like watching HD.
Is it octopi or octopuses?
Octopi is what you eat.
All
so
right.
Are octopuses.
Okay.
Octopuses like watching HD TV. They
have a 42-inch Sony Bravia, don't they?
Sitting outside the fish tank.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're playing Little Big Planet like the rest of us.
Macquarie University have been doing some research on this, and what they've found is that octopuses are able to react to the image that's produced by an HD TV, but not by an ordinary TV, and that's because of the frequency, the refresh rate of the images.
I'll explain this quickly for people.
Please.
HD technologies, and I use this in my job when I'm recording for TV, HD uses a different frame rate and different line amount than regular PAL and NTSC for standard definition. And what we find is that we get 59.96 and 50 frames per second, as well as a higher range of lines. And this makes a better image quality, as you've no doubt been able to determine if you've got an HD TV, a high definition TV, or a fuller HD. But it also changes... I think the frequency of which our eyes look at it, which is why it also appeals better to our eyes, the colors look more vibrant. So this is what the octopus is probably seeing. It can't recognize the standard def. I'm not a scientist or a biologist, so I can't tell you.
From what I'm reading here, it can't actually see the images with a slower frame rate. It's the frame rate.
Yeah, and the frame rate would make a massive difference because in HD, there's no difference between NTSC or PAL. It's basically just as it is, which is really useful, and we all love it in the video world.
But the really interesting part about this study is that they're finding that octopuses are actually quite smart. They can react to what they're actually seeing in the different images. As an example, they showed them some videos featuring a crab, which is an octopus delicacy. And when they show them the crab, the octopuses came over to the TV and they all got excited about it because they recognised that it was something that they liked and wanted to eat.
Did they recognise the Iron Chef was demonstrating his other Iron Chefs to make a crab dish?
No, they didn't.
Okay.
No, he's actually preparing to cook a marinated octopus.
Ooh.
Second movie starred another octopus, while the third movie had a novel object they would not have seen, a plastic bottle swinging on a string. As you can imagine, they were indifferent towards the plastic bottle swinging on a string. But when they saw the other octopus, some of them would go and hide in a corner. Some became aggressive, and others changed their skin camouflage. there was a very definite and positive reaction to the videos that they were seeing.
What's kind of interesting about all of this is that Dad doesn't actually realize that next week I'm actually replacing him with a super intelligent octopus, and because it's got those eight legs, it's going to be able to control the decks much more fluid-like and much more quickly than Dad is. I made a funny sort of. We've got a song next, don't we?
I think we've got Missy
Higgins. You've got two hands for this. You can play the song.
This is Missy Higgins and
Secret.
You were from the north, I was from the south. We were from opposite places.
Radio 2RDJ, 88.1, Sydney. This is The Gadget Grill with Lee Stark, which is strangely enough me, and Gary Stark over there on the controls, which is strangely enough
me. And we're also on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. And what have you got now, Lee?
I was going to say, if you have any questions for us, you can actually head to www.gadgetgrill.com.au and contact us. It's through the About page, or actually you have an MSN account. So if you have any questions about something, you know, contact us there. But right now, we have our little feature of the week. It's a little one this week. It's, you know,
show me yours, I'll show you mine.
I'd prefer not to. That could be incestuous here. We're talking about gifts for gamers for the linophobic. I don't like lines much. I know my dad hates lines. He'd rather like pull his eyebrows out and stand in line.
You could
get your eyebrows done at the International Eyebrow Shaping Champion down the road. I don't know what that is, but there's this great shop down the road from the station that says International Eyebrow Shaping Champion.
It's a hairdresser.
John Howard can get his eyebrows done there.
He probably does.
Anyway, we're looking at gifts for gamers for the linophobic. Now, if you have kids who play video games, and let's face it, what parent doesn't have a kid that plays a video game? You're probably not really sure what to get your kids. They could be my age, which is 25, and probably shouldn't be living with you. They could be 15. They could be 12. There are a lot of ways to determine what to get your kids for. You could just ask them.
See what they want.
Yeah,
there's a concept. Ask, find out, get information, get facts, get details. What a concept.
It's not great for surprising them, though. And if you want to surprise them that Santa really is on the other side there, one of the things you can do, if they've got an Xbox or a Nintendo Wii or a PlayStation, by Xbox I'm talking about an Xbox 360, and for PlayStation, a PlayStation 3, you can actually get these little cards. You can get them ahead of time at a JB or a Target. Basically, any electronics store will sell these things, or a department store. And they have a set amount of points on them, and you can actually head on to, and this is a fantastic system, the online network for all of these companies. Xbox have the Xbox Live Arcade, Sony have the PlayStation Network, and Nintendo have the Nintendo Wii, I think it's the Wii Channel, with WiiWare and Wii Classics and a whole bunch of other things on it. And you can use these points, you can give them this X amount of points, and they can buy whatever games they want on it. And some of these things are really good. You don't actually have to do it like this. You can just buy the games outright with your credit card on these networks if you want to do it like that on Christmas morning.
Or if you're really good, you can buy them with somebody else's credit card. That's always more fun.
Let's not encourage illegal activity on the show any more than we probably already do.
That may not be illegal, depending.
Yeah. So some of the things, like Xbox Live Arcade has an amazing amount of stuff on it, including classics. PlayStation has the same sort of thing, where you can actually play games that have been specifically made for these consoles. And some of the better games on there, like in Xbox's case, are cute, quirky games that really quite require brain power, called Braid. I recommend you take a look for just Google Braid and game on Google.
You'll get Lee's hairstyle.
No. But that's one of the great ones. PlayStation, once again, has some fantastic ones. And PlayStation actually allows you to buy full games, like a lot of the ones they release in stores that you don't want to line up for. You can actually buy on the PlayStation Network. Now, there's a problem with this, just quickly. If your kids actually delete the game off of their hard drive with the PlayStation 1, they don't exactly get to re-download it. This is a problem with Sony, and I'm not quite sure if this will ever get fixed or when it will get fixed. But basically, don't let them delete the game you've already bought. But these are some options if you have these video game systems and you don't really want to leave your home. It's really easy to do. I actually ended up buying a couple cards this week so I can waste more money of mine on video games, as I frequently do. Video game reviewers, believe it or not, actually end up buying a lot of games. A lot of our games are only playable on certain types of consoles.
What a job.
Yeah, shut up. The other thing you can do, if you don't have consoles, which is possible, you have a PC, you can head to a couple places, Good Old Games or GOG.com.au. They actually don't... What are you going to say? Your eyes are opening
that
like...
That was GOG with a G, not GOG. With a D.
No, not GOD, not GOB, but not GOM or
Thank
GONE.
Thank you, I just wanted GOG. To clarify that.
It actually stands for Good Old Games, .com. And what they do is they take...
Pong.
Shut up. They take older games that have been out for like 5, 10 years that are still great games, and there are some fantastic games out there that run on basically your laptop. If you've just bought your kid an E or a smaller laptop, these games will run perfectly, and they are really fun games, really original stories, and they cost about $5 or $10. I mean, that's nothing.
Cheap at twice the price.
That's nothing. And they make great little stocking stuffers. Likewise, if you've got a kid that plays a lot of first-person shooters or any game in general, the Steam Network, which is powered by Valve, who made Half-Life and Half-Life 2 and Counter-Strike, once again, you can find some fantastic deals, especially weekly. They've got new deals every weekend, so that's an option. Otherwise, if you've got an iPod, well, you can always hit the App Store for a great gift. You can gift people things. You can send them a gift, basically, of a game. And I mean, I was showing Dad a few new games today.
There's a couple of very good ones on the iPhone. Who'd have thunk that you could get a phone on which you can pretend to fly an Airbus 380?
Or you can ride a skateboard with your fingers, or you can be a World War II veteran.
Isn't that how you ride a skateboard normally?
Yeah, right, yeah. Or you can do a whole bunch of things. You can play Guitar Hero on your iPhone and not pay a thing. That one's actually free. So, yeah, that was interesting.
Useful, yeah.
Yeah. So that,
just readjusting the furniture.
Yeah, so that's an option for you as well. And if you've got an iPod Classic or an iPod Nano, you can always end up with great games like Phase, or Sonic the Hedgehog, and they only cost $7.50. So these are all excellent stocking stuffers. If you end up getting your kids a few of them, they make a really good prize, and I personally don't spend a lot around the holiday season, not really caring much about Hanukkah or Christmas. That said, we're going to play a Hanukkah song next.
No, we're not quite yet.
Oh, really?
I've just got a couple of... Because we're talking about shopping...
Okay, fine. I'll segue into that again afterwards.
Yeah, please do. Because we're talking about shopping and some of the gifts that you can buy, I thought that I would go and explore the internet myself. And
you didn't come across porn, did you? I wouldn't want your eyes to see that at this early age of what, 50 something.
No. I didn't come across any porn, but I did come across some interesting things. Just some of the more interesting things that I found that people might want to consider buying.
Not in this country,
however.
That really affects the people
of
Sydney.
This does become problematic, but I thought it might be interesting to see what you can buy on the internet if you care to go looking around. For instance, there's a Homedics Body Basics Shiatsu Massaging Cushion with Heat.
They're actually really good. We, you know, not to sound too pretentious in reviewing, we had a couple in where we work, and they were actually really good. They were really relaxing. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, this has got soothing heat, state-of-the-art, powerful moving shiatsu massage.
You sound like you're advertising for them.
I'm just reading what the ad says.
Yeah, that's...
Mechanism travels up and down the back. The regular price is US$99.99, and they've got a $10 saving on this, so you can get it now for just $89.99, a bargain.
Actually, I don't think that's too much off the Australian pricing from what I remember. Okay. I mean, if you want to find any stuff like this, some of the better resources, without inflicting too much damage on what Dad's talking about here, are places like ShopBot and Static Ice. Once again, Google those. They're great search engines for comparing prices.
Second item that I found was a 1.5-inch digital keychain. This almost sounds like the sort of thing you want to give to your grandmother.
I think it's a Tamagotchi without the Tamagotchi. You load your images on it.
You do. View up to 56 colour photos, 2-hour continuous viewing time, recharge with USB, which means you plug your key ring into your computer.
So in a few years, the locket will no longer be in existence. People will be holding these things around their necks.
That's $14 US.
Wow. I think you can get them here for about 50, to be honest.
Yeah, that's about right. Which comes to the next item, because a lot of technology stuff in Australia is more expensive than it is in America.
Not overly so. We're getting a lot better.
We're getting a lot better, but how about this? An in-dash DVD CD receiver with 7-inch LCD. This is a DVD
that would cost you about $400 or $500 here.
$400 or $500
minimum
upwards.
Yeah.
Front USB SD, AV inputs, rear vision camera input.
Get on
input.
With it. Yeah, you can't advertise for fries, Dad.
I'm not. $199 US.
Yeah, but once again, the American stores have always been much better for this sort of thing.
But my favorite in the ads that I looked at this week was an ad for one of the stores there for buying cameras. And, of course, you remember a couple of weeks ago...
We suggested that you buy a camera based off a camera company, you know, a company who makes cameras, just like buying a laptop. Buy a laptop from the company that makes laptops, not makes fridges.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. So here we have the ad for buying a camera, and the page is headed Shop by Color. Would you like your camera to be black, blue, pink, red, brown, white, or green?
Here's a suggestion. Why don't they paint it like Sackboy? I'll be sure to buy it. Now, to be honest, that doesn't surprise me. But one of the things we also said in that segment on our first show was that if you're going to buy a camera and you're just buying it based off something like that, then you're probably ending up buying it for to throw away at a party, basically. So that doesn't surprise me in the slightest. Look, I've got a green color. And look, we've got a song.
Indeed we have. This is...
It's Hanukkah-based.
John Simon.
Hello, it's Stephanie from the Tuesday Breakfast Show. I would like to wish all our 2RDJ listeners a very happy and safe holiday season. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year in 2009. Bye for now. Help yourself. A merry little Christmas.
Check this out.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
Radio 2RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill. And coming up next, we're going to be taking a look at a few things. We'll take a look at a few small things, big things. It's something important. Not really.
Everything's important.
Everything's important in a way. I was hoping that would actually come up, but I guess I ran out of script for myself. I'm allowed to make a mistake too.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about right now are a few small things. They're like, well, two of them are like, well, one's like a stocking stuffer, and the other two are kind of like overpriced stocking stuffers. Normally we do our game review here, but since I talked so much about games for like the past 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk about some gadgets instead, starting with the X Mini capsule speaker. Now, this is a tiny USB capsule speaker, which is a pain in the ass to find in Sydney. However, I think I found something that's identical to it. So identical, I think it's been rebadged with a grill change. Signet, they're a company who make iPod accessories, things like AM, FM connectors for the bottoms and cases and headsets and things like that.
AM, FM
okay, fine, FM connectors. You know the things at the bottom that let you transmit your iPod to an FM?
Oh.
You know, so you can ignore 88.1, which we'd never ask you to do.
I thought you were going to describe something that we might have to sit on.
No, I don't think. If you were to sit on it, I don't think it would come back alive.
Reminds me of a cartoon, but we won't go there.
Yeah. No, this is the X-Mini Capsule Speaker. I think Signet are doing one. They call it the Groove Speaker or something like that. It has Groove in the front of it, and it's a little circular, ovular speaker. And this is a really...
Egg-shaped.
It's not really egg-shaped. It's like a squished ball. I think that's probably a better way of describing
it. Yep.
A squished ball, because there is an egg-shaped speaker that actually competes with this. What it is, it's a... A squished ball that when you twist it, it opens up and reveals a little tiny accordion-shaped chamber in it. And at the bottom of this is a USB rechargeable battery, and you can plug this in, and it gives you about 4 to 6 hours of recharged life.
Which is pretty good.
Which isn't bad. And the audio quality from this, being a mono speaker, is actually really fantastic. I think we've got like 4 in our home right now.
We've got a few of them, and I actually have one in the studio with me at the moment because I use it to make sure that everything is working properly before I come into the studio.
Could be useful for actually some of the equipment here.
Be nice.
Yeah.
Be nice.
So Signet actually looked like, I'm guessing, I haven't had the chance to test it yet, but I saw it in the store when I was shopping for Christmas presents the other day, and it's almost identical. So if you see this thing, it's about $40. It's a great little Christmas stocking stuffer for someone who goes on a road trip, and it plugs right into an iPhone or iPod or anything. It's just the regular 3.5mm headphone adapter, basically. And it's really easy to use and provides great sound. It's really
the
cool.
The sound for the size of the box is surprisingly good.
So that's one of the things. The next thing we're going to look at is the Chumbi, which has a really weird name, the Chumbi.
Because it's a really weird device.
Yeah, this is an internet appliance. You're going to hear more about this next year, and we'll probably end up talking about this sort of stuff next week.
I hope not.
An internet appliance is basically an appliance that is always connected to the internet. Its purpose it's kind of loosely defined. An internet appliance is just an appliance that can access your music or your email. Basically, it's a widget. If you've used widgets, if you've ever used a Mac or Google, like the Google desktop when you log into your account, then you've got a whole bunch of widgets for weather and email and news. This is like that with a screen attached to it.
I think I dated a widget once.
That produced a really bad image. And with the Chumbi is sort of like a squishy widget for your home. Now, there's a flaw to this. If this has to be plugged into the wall to work. And being that it's squishy, I'd half expect that it has a battery so that you can actually, you know, put it on your bed and listen to your music or check your email. But that's not the case. It has a 9-volt battery socket, which I haven't had the chance to test, but I highly doubt with the amount of power this thing requires that the 9-volt's going to be of any use.
I need to say that I'm actually very concerned about the concept of something that is soft and squishy and battery-powered and that you want to take it onto your bed with you.
Especially me, since I'm a guy.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a weird device. It does some things really well. Like, it listens to you. It's great for listening to your music. It's really fantastic for that. But it gets really hot quickly, really, really hot quickly. And it's basically a little more than the $300 or $400.
Bed warmer.
No, I was going to say fire hazard, to be honest. But yeah, no, it's worth taking a look at if the person you're getting, or if you're trying to get a present for someone and they've got everything, they probably will not have a Chumbi. Now, we're also going to look quickly at the Motorola Rocker EQ7. It's a Bluetooth hands-free speaker with JBL technology inside of it. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, JBL makes some of the best sound devices, sound speakers, audio equipment on the planet. And this is inside a simple black Bluetooth hands-free system, so you can make phone calls, listen to phone calls, and listen to your music on it.
So
not if you have an iPhone, because it doesn't support A2DP. But it has fantastic sound, and we've actually got Bose speakers at home. They're mine. We can compare them to them. They give them a good run for their money. They are these things sound fantastic. I wish I owned a pair myself, or owned one of these things. It is a really good little device. It's expensive, but if you're getting a present for someone, high-powered executive, or you're looking for something, maybe it's your husband, this is a great piece of equipment.
Excellent. What do we got on the show for next week, please, Lee?
Well, next week, we're looking at the best of next year. We're looking at the best gadgets, best games, and if you've got something that you want to give to us or that you want to tell us about that you thought was good, contact us at contact@gadgetgrill.com.au. That's it for the show. Sadly, this hour goes by way too quickly.
It does. It goes very quickly. Today has just... Flown.
Before the other song, after the Hanukkah song, was actually Jenny Owen Young's. But right now we've actually got Nigel Kennedy, one of our favourite violinists, who we actually got to see this year. He's fantastic if he ever comes down. But anyway, have a good weekend, have a good week, have a good Christmas. We'll see you right after it.
We shall.